And it seems important to note the discussions that we had in facilities and finance in regards to that wastewater treatment plant, that that's not a septic system and it's not something that goes into the sewage authority. And it is something that the engineer reports to us that is more than likely to fail in the near term rather than the far term. And we could be saddled with significantly greater expenses if we were not to do that now, along with high potential for fines from the DEP, much more so than the ones that they were threatening us with on this particular property here. So moving that out does not seem to be reasonable at all. That is an emergency that has been brought up and was not planned for this year. I kind of question, I'm not certain what all of these things are on what is not in the current budget. Is could you elaborate a little bit? I don't understand RVS signage and field maintenance, what we would be looking at to accomplish there. I'm sure the signage is easily one we can put off for a little bit. Field maintenance, because isn't there also a wastewater treatment plant at RVS? Is that something that we should be concerned about to the same extent that we are at Patrick McGarry?
Let me take the easy question. I'll give our VA the hard question, okay? The easy question is the signage. There is a, when you pull into Ram Valley, immediately on your right, there's a really kind of older, dilapidated sign there. And I think we've been talking about replacing it for a number of years and haven't gotten to that. And that's one of those things that I really like to do. If we could squeeze something somewhere, but right now we've got such a tight budget, and I am very concerned about this wastewater treatment plant, because a couple of weeks ago we kind of thought we had the money budgeted for it in this budget, and we were in decent shape, not great, but decent. And as the engineering reports were coming in, they were coming in higher than we expected, and that's why it was important for us to include now rather than wait.
And weren't we also having, like, issues at RVS with wastewater treatment 2 years ago?
We did repairs to that sewage plant, I want to say 2 years ago. There were a number of repairs done and updates to it, so that's in good shape right now.
But that wasn't the, as I understand it, that wasn't the functioning of the plant. That was actual physical.
Right, the structure around
structure,
the plant
plumbing,
itself.
Those kinds of things, and how it operates.
Right.
To talk about the fields that are specifically spoken about in this slide, it's not the septic fields, it's the ball fields. So that's the difference. I know, I don't remember if it was before or after reorg, but we did talk about maintaining or putting some money into some of our sports or athletic fields in the district, because they are, you know, they do get a large amount of use, and there's probably a lot of repairs that need to happen, and those currently are not in this year's budget.
I had sent some comments in on the fields. I'm on them a lot because my kids are sports age. And there's, like, general fields maintenance, you know, bare patches, ruts, water runoff, you know, the sidelines get soggy, the dugouts get soggy. There's that type of thing. But then there's more of a maintenance thing. Like here at SRS, there's small retaining walls where the stones are all dislodged from the wall and scattered. The benches are falling down. Those are more like repair, not maintain and improve the field, but repair the physical structures around them. And like at PMG, there's a black surface play area. It's cracked and there's grass growing up through it. And then the walkway to the play area is washed out and just busted up. So those are more like, to me, safety maintenance type issues that would take priority over grooming the fields, which, you know, is also an issue, but less of an issue than the disrepair.
Thank you.
I think you know, this is my second year here, so forgive me if I'm misinterpreting things that happened, all right? But I think when you squeeze budgets for a long time, things get squeezed out of them, all right? And you're always making decisions about what's the priority and what's not the priority. And oftentimes, what I've seen is that facilities issues kind of get squeezed to the side because what we all say, and rightfully so, all right, is the children first, all right? So our children, our programs, our teachers, our professional development, you know, we want to take care of that first. However, at some point, you have to pay the devil his due, and your buildings, you need to maintain them. So little by little, I think it's going to take a number of years to whittle away at these issues that, you know, we may not have focused on as strongly a few years ago. So I think it's going to take us some time to make that up. You can't do it all in one budget. I mean, I suppose you could, but you would have to go to that cap of 2% to say, you know what, we're going to go to cap, we're going to bite the bullet, we're going to do all these repairs at once. Otherwise, what you basically do, what most districts are doing now, is little by little taking the chunks of where the biggest problems are and putting out some fires and trying to do some little repairs. And those benches and things that Mr. Sturgis is talking about are very real and problematic, but they're not the major priority today.
It's a choice that we made, you know, over the past 4 years. We've tried to keep the increase down successfully, and we have been able to get some capital improvements done, some good ones. But it is a choice. Like every year when we choose to offer the proposed budget without the increases, we defer maintenance on broken curbs, on broken sidewalks, other facilities and fields issues. It seems like we keep kicking it down the road. I mean, there is the aspect of maintaining the investment of the public in the facilities. Like some of these repairs, if these were commercial buildings or public buildings, we wouldn't let the sidewalks go. You just can't because of the environment. But, you know, we've prioritized, you know, keeping the budget down over some of these maintenance issues. And I'm not suggesting that we should fund them all now, but it's something that we just have to be aware of. You know, like PMG, for example, those walkways and the flooding in the front and the medians between the parking and the striping and some of the holes, they weren't all there a year ago. You know, in a year's time, some of that stuff appears, and it's just, you know, lack of maintenance. We haven't done anything there in a very long time.
We had a discussion about this at the last facilities and finance meeting, where we recognize that our buildings and surrounding areas really need to be evaluated for their safety. And we said we were going to do that in the very near term and then put a plan together over a course of 3 to 5 years to address all that. So we're definitely on the same page. It's really as a result of not being able to fund those things the last few years, we recognize that we need to start doing that. So we spoke with Dr. Clark and Ms. Spitzer at the last meeting about, you know, let's assess everything and put a plan together, and then how we can do that over time without really increasing the budget and passing that cost on to the taxpayer. So that's something that we'll be looking to do probably in the next 4 months.
If you remember the last budget presentation, we talked about what weren't really variable costs, you know, those fixed costs in your budget. And that's up around, you know, 88-89% of your budget is pretty fixed, you know. And so you don't have a lot of variable costs and monies that you can work with within the budget. And we've been in a very difficult economy where you have to be extraordinarily careful. Not that you're not always careful, but extraordinarily so because of the impact it has on the community.
Yeah, I think Dr. Clark, Maria, and Kevin, three lines of, we need a comprehensive and 3 to 5 year long-range facilities plan and prioritize from there. And we have something to work with. Yeah. As far as my concerns on the budget, it's really, it's a pretty lean need-based budget, keeping in mind the taxpayers, the citizens of our community. So I commend all the work that went into this. Very proud of this budget. I think it's a good budget. It speaks volumes. It has little of everything. Need-based for the school, keeping the community in mind. One thing, if we can just clarify, there's normally not an increase in the general fund tax levy. The past couple of years have gone down. We've got a negative.
Do you mean debt service levy versus general fund tax levy?
Right. If you
can, the debt service.
Yeah, the debt service. Can you, I know you spoke about it, but can you maybe explain why it went up this year in particular? And usually it goes down. So something unusual that we're seeing here for the first time in a few years.
What we did last year, if you remember, when we refunded the debt, we had a balance. What had happened is we refunded the debt after the budget was struck. So there was $71,000 in interest that had been collected from the prior year prior to refunding the debt. So the money was raised in debt service levy, and it was sitting in our bank account because we couldn't make the adjustment because the debt hadn't been completely refunded. So last year what we did is we gave it back. So that's why it appears that it's going up this year. It's coming back to where it was based on our principal and interest statement.
Just for the record, clarification. I do appreciate that. And also I want to thank Dr. Clark and Ms. Spitzer for explaining the administrative aspect of why we possibly need one. You verified why, and I think you gave a rational improvement explanation. I'm a big fan of adding administrators, but I think you've justified a rational basis as to why, based upon the circumstances that we are facing in today's education environment here. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I could rubber stamp this budget right now. It needs a very good sum of work.
So in looking at the budget, I think a reasonable person would look at our student levels and expect that there would be a decrease in staffing, which you've addressed. I think that it's also safe to say or appropriate to say that that decrease in staffing is not going to take place through a RIF or reduction in force. Instead, it's going to take place primarily through attrition or normal movement within the school, along with some of that decrease being offset in the budget highlights curriculum programs in what we could refer to as the unfunded mandates. We're going to be picking up some of that there, but the net still is a staff reduction commensurate with planning for reduction in total student attendance.
I'm being very careful here because until I know exactly where the staff is going to fall, I know that there is an overall reduction in the staff. Sometimes it all fits together beautifully and there's no RIF needed. But I don't want to say to you that or promise you something that I don't know for sure today. And today I'm not absolutely positive. There might not be one or two people who are RIF'd or non-renewed in some way. I don't know that today because I don't know all of the retirements. I don't know how all the players fit. And so I want to be careful about not committing something to the board that I don't know for sure. But you're not going to have a massive RIF where you have 10 people who, are not coming back. It's not going to happen. It's primarily through the attrition, but there might be a couple.
But our net is when we look at everything that's taking place is there will be some reduction in total staff.
Oh, absolutely.
At the end of the season.
Absolutely.
And just to elaborate on that a little bit is some of the staffing is also dictated by specific student needs. So if you have students that are graduating from the district that have specific student needs, they may no longer be mm-hmm. needed. So those are things that are also considered specifically for IEP-driven needs going forward.
It was interesting to note in last month's budget or bills approval process. We actually spent more on busing for special student needs as opposed to normal transportation within the district. So that's a heavy expense area. Do we feel that we're receiving the savings that we anticipated from the movement from one bus company to another bus company?
Well, those are, I apologize, did you want to? No. Okay. Those are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
The to and from school is the savings that we expected in changing the bus companies. The out-of-district placements, if I understand your question mm-hmm. correctly, are things that we do the best we can to share those services, if you will. For example, Hunterdon County ESC does a wonderful job of looking at, for example, if we have one student going to a particular out-of-district placement, what they will do for us is take a look to see if, for example, anyone in our area also has a student going there. So what we do is we do a joint transportation agreement, and if it's possible, our student will ride with another district student to go to the same place, if it works on the route. So we're pretty effective in doing that, and some of our other routes where there are not other students going, we were successful in bidding them for ourselves this year to save us some additional administrative costs, because the ESCs and the special services school districts that do offer that transportation do charge them for the students. So if it's only one student, it kind of makes sense to try to do it ourselves.
So, Danny, did you think the cost to transport the classified students was higher than the general ed students as a whole?
Well, the amounts, and don't quote me on the exact number, we approved last month within district 66,000. Out of district was 67,000.
But that very well could have been just timing of bills. It could have been that we received. Yeah, I would have to look at that for you. That doesn't sound like it's a normal. I'm thinking that possibly we received
the billing cycle.
Two bills, yeah,
could
a
be,
billing cycle or the timing of our meeting or something to that effect. But I will look into that for you.
Any other questions?
No question, but just a comment in. Looking at the drafts, listening to the presentation, the word I use for this budget is responsible. So I think that's a great word to describe a well-crafted budget. So the presentation was thorough, and I think it addressed the challenges we face, and I think it addressed how we're facing them. So thank you. Thank you for the presentation.
Well, I would say that the Finance and Facilities Committee was very directive in what they wanted us to do with this budget, and it may have aged Mrs. Spitzer and myself a little bit, and I think we spent a lot of time with principals and director of curriculum really pulling apart every line to make sure that we were really looking at what we most needed as opposed to what we really wanted. So I agree. I think it's responsible. And I feel a lot better looking at the monies for the PMG wastewater treatment plant.
I don't know who those people are who hate Mr. Spitzer. But, oh, wait. No, never mind.
I'd like to thank both Dr. Clark and Ms. Spitzer for a great job in developing this budget, and I really appreciate the ability to have open dialogue back and forth, you know, and sharing information back and forth and kind of dueling at times to get to a really good point so that we can present a budget that's completely responsible with taxpayers' money. Again, focusing on the children in the classroom and their needs, and those were two goals that we set out right from the very beginning of this year that we wanted to do, and that was to stay focused on student achievement and doing right for what children need, and doing it all while being fiscally responsible. And I really believe that this budget does accomplish those things. So I just want to thank the two of you for working so well with the board and helping us accomplish those two items for our children and for our community.
Yeah, I just wanted to share that, you know, in terms of what Mr. McTiernan was asking, you know, it's kind of strange when you look at the enrollment trends, because there are certain grade levels where it really dips and other grade levels that are absolutely level from year to year right now. And it's unusual. I don't know if it's unusual, you know, statewide, but you actually see huge drops in certain grade levels, and then other grade levels, nothing, no change at all. So that's why we're trying to look very carefully at what we're doing. And sometimes you're not, as you're going down in staff, you're going down in the overall number, and that's why you see those salary lines go down. But you may see where one grade level is going down more dramatically, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a teacher in the district who, you know, that because that grade level is going down, that teacher may be certified in other grade levels or other areas that may be going up or needing replacement, and they would just move to that spot, you know, so to repurpose them, so to speak. They may not actually be losing a job. They may be moving somewhere else, but the overall number is still going down.
Any other questions or comments for Mrs. Spitzer or Dr. Clark?
Okay.
I have a question for the board. So we've all listened to the presentation. We've seen the preliminary budget in our binders. We've had an opportunity to ask questions, and I'd like to ask the members of the board if there's anything in this budget that you object to at this time of what you see, or is this budget acceptable to you?
I think I said my piece. I'm ready.
Okay.
Well, not rubbish, but approve it.
Anyone else?
Good.
I have no objections.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, moving on. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This is too defined by our bylaw. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes. Anyone like to address the board?
Amy Switlick, 11 South Deer Hill Road. I would like to not make, well, I know it's not an interactive thing, but I would like some clarification on the Chromebooks. In this budget, what grades will be receiving a Chromebook? I also would appreciate some clarification on the Affordable Care Act. What teachers, part-time, hourly, are you going to be compensating them with your insurance so you're not penalized? If I can get some clarification on that. And also, the last two slides, I really couldn't read. Is there any way I can get a copy of that? That's all. Thank you.
We'll be posting that on the website.
Excellent.
Okay. Anyone else like to address the board? Dr. Clark, would you please address Ms. Switlick's questions?
Yes. In terms of the Chromebooks, we have had a multi-year initiative for purchasing the Chromebooks. We did a lot of research. Our curriculum director and technology director worked very intensely last year on the core content standards and the requirements for the students in terms of PARC and the curriculum requirements. And we started purchasing sets last year. I believe that we purchased for seventh and eighth grade language arts classrooms, full sets of them. Mrs. Philippe, just correct me if I go wrong here, but I think I know the answer. And so we did that for our language arts classrooms first at the middle school because we felt that was where the primary need was going to be. It turned out after we made this decision, the high school also did similar research and moved to the Chromebooks. So we were very pleased about that because now our students are already utilizing the Chromebooks and Google Apps and Google Docs, and they're going to the high school, transitioning to the same thing, so they're well prepared. This year, we're bringing full sets into the sixth grade language arts class, so there will be full sets for those language arts classes. We only have a few in grades 2, 3, 4, and 5, elementary classrooms, and we're expanding those to hopefully 5 or 6, depending on what the pricing is and how much we can bargain and beat people over the head to give us the best prices. Did I say that? I'm sorry. we're also putting sets in our science labs and adding a Chrome lab to each building. So each building in the district will have a Chrome lab. Part of this is the curriculum base. Part of it is for planning for PARC. You actually need, I want to say, I'm going to give one of the schools that I'm aware of. For Round Valley School, you need, I think, 6 labs operating at the same time for PARC testing. That's a lot of labs operating. So we're hoping by what we're purchasing for the entire district for the normal school year that we can manage all the testing through what we have in district. But our science labs are going to have them as well, and that helps us with additional labs in all our buildings. I think the middle school needs 4 labs, if I'm not mistaken, operating at the same time. So I hope that gives you an idea of where we're going with Chromebooks. In terms of the Affordable Care Act, we have a number of what I'm going to call, Mrs. Spitzer, you help me out if I need it, all right? We have a number of what's called variable employees, and that means people who work part-time in the district. A number of those people who work part-time in the district, as, say, a secretary who works part-time. If there's an opening, they may also be a certified substitute teacher. And so if there is, maybe they work part-time in the morning, and in the afternoon, there's an opening for a teacher who's going to a workshop in the afternoon, and they have to cover class. Well, they may also work, they may work for the district a certain number of hours, and then they may want to substitute for the district in the afternoon at a completely different job. However, if they're working for the district, being paid by the district in those 2 different capacities, you're required by the Affordable Care Act, they work over a certain number of hours. You have to track their hours very carefully. And if they go over those hours, you have to make sure they're kind of kicked out of the system and not allowed to work in the district, or you must offer them a certain level of benefits. Correct? Yes. Jump in, please.
The other piece of that is not just the variable employees, but this is how we were able to manage our risk a little better going forward in terms of the substitute teachers. The Affordable Care Act says that any employee working on average more than 30 hours a week, you must offer them benefits. And they define what that means. If you do not offer them benefits, there are clear penalties at different levels, the worst being $3,000 per employee in the district per occurrence. So if I somehow manage to not offer 2 people benefits and they should have been offered benefits, it's the $3,000 per employee in the district times two. Okay? So they are substantial. So by going to Source for Teachers, it's eliminated all that additional tracking. What that means is, in a school district, because we're only 10 months, our window is calculated differently than, for example, a business. It starts on our open enrollment period, so our look-back period is what they call it. It's the previous 12 months. Begins on November 1st through the following October 31st. Well, obviously, there's a summer in there. The way they calculate the summer for school districts, and again, this is all based on what our broker or our expert's interpretation of the law is. We don't really know.
New law, remember, so
and it hasn't
it's
been
going
tested.
To go to it's going to go to court at some point to
yes.
be proven one way or the other.
Yes. So what they do to calculate the average over the summer is they take the 10 months that the employee would work, and they calculate an average over 10 months. Whatever that average is, they give that average for July and August. So if on average, over 10 months, you work an average of 25 hours, for July and August, you get credited for 25 hours. Then you add the 25 hours to the other 10 actuals and divide by 12 to get the real average. So as you can see, it's a very convoluted undertaking. So by going to Outsource for Teachers, or Source for Teachers, just on the teacher and TA subs, we're able to help manage that risk. And that's what that means. And that's the impact right now as we know it for the Affordable Health Care Act. And it goes into effect. I know you'll hear that the president has delayed the employer mandate. Those are for employers who have 99 or less employees. So we have not been delayed. We are going into effect, as we know right now, January 1st of 2015.
And what Mrs. Spitzer, the penalty that she's been talking about is only the first penalty. There are multiple penalties after the first one for all different phases of the process. So it goes on and on in terms of the penalties. And you know, I don't know if anybody thought about it in relationship to the way schools operate. It really does operate differently for us and carries a lot more onerous penalties for us than it might for someone else.
Anyone else like to address the board? Okay, I'd like to move to the public comments comment section. First recognition of the public. I'd like to open the floor to our first recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest. And we'll follow the same format with this as we do for the agenda items only public comments section. If you'd like to address the board, please come to the mic, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes. Anyone?
No, that's a first.
Okay. Moving on then to our committee reports. We have one committee report this evening from Facilities and Finance. Mr. Kevin Malloy is our chairperson of that committee. Mr. Malloy?
Sure. One brief housekeeping item at our last public meeting. Excuse me, the board voted to accept certain regular operating district grants as a matter of good order and next steps. I have one, or the Finance and Facilities Committee has one action item to move tonight, and that is the execution and delivery of same. So for us to begin moving on security upgrades for the new exterior doors and vestibules, which are funded by the grants we accepted, full board must vote to execute. So I seek a motion on action item 14FF147 at this time.
Motion.
Dan?
Second.
Rachel? Any questions for Mr. Malloy? No? Spitzer, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay. Moving on, I'd like to open the floor to our second recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest. Again, we'll follow the same format as I laid out earlier this evening. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the mic, state your name and address, and we'll be limiting this section to 10 minutes. Anyone like to address the board?
Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive, because I have to. I just want to say thank you to everyone because you guys put in a ton of time, and I don't think you get appreciated enough. So I want to say thank you to each and every one of you. And, you know, it is greatly appreciated. Maybe you don't get a lot of it, and not a lot of people show up, but you affect a lot of kids, and I appreciate every one of you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board? Okay. I'm looking for a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Good night.